Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with this Sabbath. Thank you for blessing us in this week. Thank you for all the trials and the smiles. We thank you for blessing us in every single hour of the day. Thank you also for the forgiveness of sin and the cleansing from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. And thank you so much for salvation and what your Son has done for us. Please bless everyone in attendance, including those that are still coming in. And please bless everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And thank you again for blessing us with a way to gather and answering our prayers. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. For those of you who that weren't here last night, we are going online now in the radio, too. That's why it says WTPR Live up there. We got the radio back up and running. So we were praising about that last night. I guess Friday nights we do study and praise. And I'm just hoping the volume's good on the radio because it all depends on whoever's on the mic. So anyway, I want to welcome some new people down here. On the bottom of the list there, we got Craig, Margaret, Maudlin, and Rosalie. And soon as possible, if you emailed me for texting abilities, I'll turn it on for you. And then if you're in the room when I do that and you get the email, and if you notice you still can't text, it's because you got to leave the room and then come back in, and then it'll turn on. So, amen and amen. Okay, we are on question number 26, I think it's lesson 23. Yeah, 23. Yeah, if you're new, just scroll underneath the chat room or hit one of the links above the chat room. But if you scroll underneath the chat room, you'll see the study notes and then the sermon notes after that. Okay. So question number 26. The question is, at creation, what did God sanctify as the sign of his authority? Amen. Thank you, Brother Gorin. And it's good to hear that the sound is okay. Okay, so, yeah. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And if anybody happens to be on the radio right now, that's also in the chat room at the same time. If the sound volume is too low, let me know. Because I'm just like setting up the gain on my mic, but I don't want to go too far because it's already set for the way I do the videos. So, okay, so Genesis 2:3 again says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so the answer to the question is, what did God sanctify as a sign of authority? It's amazing how so many Christians today don't want anything to do with his authority, but we are in the last days, and it's amazing how many people that claim to be Christians or even Bible readers miss this basic truth. I mean, it's in their Bibles, just like it's in our Bibles. There's absolutely no excuse that offers any real truth so as to why they ignore the fact the Sabbath is sanctified and placed eternally as a memorial to all of creation. I mean, even after the cross of Christ, we cannot change, ignore, or sidestep this fact in any way. I mean, he still created all that is seen and unseen, so how is it something that is sanctified regarding an act in the past, 6,000 years ago, that can never be changed because it already occurred? So if he sanctified it back then, how could it be changed? That just makes no sense. So, I mean, did history change and creation week suddenly become null and void? I mean, one would think the way people treat the Sabbath nowadays, this is how they're believing it's happened. I mean, they think that when Jesus resurrected, the Sabbath was done away. In fact, they actually say all the law was done away, but we all know that they don't even believe that, because when you ask them if it's okay to kill, they say no. So the bottom line in this is, God did in fact create all that is seen and unseen, and his word clearly dictates that he stopped the work of creation so as to rest on the seventh day. No getting around that. I mean, he literally says that. And it also states he sanctified the seventh day, as we just read, and or set it apart for special use, as the definition of sanctification actually confirms. And since he blessed that day, how is it possible for any man, I don't care how holy he may think he is, how can he think to even change it? Especially when we see what it says in Numbers 23:20, which is, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I mean, yes, I mean, mankind has sought to change the law of God as well as the time we are called to worship him each week because of his demonically influenced arrogance. But then it was prophesied in Daniel 7:25 that mankind, under the direction of Satan, who boldly and openly possessed the man of sin to actually think to change times and laws. And so here we are in the very last days, when only a remnant of her seed understand the prophecies as well as worship Jesus and keep the commandments of our God. I mean, so be it. This is where we are called to stand, and we can do no less. And being the 11th hour church, this also takes into consideration that even the 9th hour church, who at one time claimed that the law was overwhelmingly important, but they are now, and just about a month ago I put a video up, they're continuing to open churches that keep Sunday holy. So they are going to eventually put it down. They've already changed their name, so. And many people, I mean, it's a little easier to see that happen than for it to happen with the Jews, because a lot of people thought the Jews would never change their Sabbath ever. But last year, March 31st, they agreed with the Vatican that they will keep Sunday holy, as long as they can still keep their Sabbath, too. But the man of sin's got his foot in the door. If they're going to agree to do something that's outside Scripture, and I'm not saying you can't keep Sunday holy. You can keep all 7 days of the week holy if you want, but there's only one Sabbath. There's only one seventh day. There's only one sanctified day. There's only one day he said we must keep holy. That's today. I mean, if we use the same kind of theology of today obviously Eve had the same kind of thought in her mind when she was in the Garden of Eden. I mean, to some extent, you could see how, I mean, it's a different lie altogether, but it still made her look at the tree in the garden as no big deal. You know, I mean, sure, God said don't touch of it, but she went and touched it. And a lot of people have, you know, and everybody knows that, you know, that story. I mean, some Christians, I kid you not, they call themselves Christians, and they actually say that Adam and Eve is a myth. But they still know about Adam and Eve, so at least that's one seed planted. But the fact of the matter remains, God didn't say, let's say, for example, there's only 7 trees in the garden. That's it, just 7 trees. We know there's a lot more, but let's just say for the sake of illustration that there's only 7 trees in the Garden of Eden. God picked one of those trees and said, that's the one that you cannot touch. It's the tree of good and evil. That's the one that I have chosen for you to keep clear of. Okay, now let's just figure on, you know, God created the week, and he created 7 separate days, and he picked one day to sanctify. So it just it doesn't make sense why. Well, on this side of the fence, of course, it doesn't make sense because we understand the Word. We have the Holy Spirit. This is why we keep the Ten Commandments. Everybody else thinks we keep the Ten Commandments to get saved, but what they don't realize is we keep the Ten Commandments because we are saved, because they prove they can't keep them, even though they claim to be Christians. They simply can't keep the law because they're not allowing Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. Sure, they'll say he's Lord. That's Jesus said that in the Scriptures, that they're going to give him all sorts of lip service. But like the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 4, verse 1, they're going to read the Bibles the way they go on to read them. They're going to walk the way they want to walk. They're just going to call themselves Christians to take away their shame. They truly aren't Christians. if they were Christians, Jesus Christ would be their Lord in every aspect. I mean, there's a lot of different areas in the scriptures that talks about things Christians should and should not do. And if Jesus is your Lord, you will do everything you can to obey or understand that it's wise that you don't do those things or that you do do those other things. That's what means, you know, for him to be your Lord. So anyway, let's go to question number 27. This one might take a little while to get through here. 27 says, What has he given us as a sign that he is the Lord that sanctifies us? And Ezekiel 20, verse 12 says, Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. So look, we're even sanctified. We're set apart for holy use. If you're obedient, if you're disobedient, well, then you're set apart for an unholy use by the other one, the God of this world. I'd rather be with the one that's going to stay alive for eternity than the one that's going to die soon. But anyway, just as the Sabbath was the sign that distinguished Israel from everyone else when they came out of Egypt to enter the earthly Canaan, so is this very same Sabbath as a sign that now distinguishes us while we're traveling through our proverbial desert, the remnant of our seed, because we're literally headed towards our heavenly Canaan, the promised land, which flows with milk and honey. New Jerusalem is as it's named. So the observance of the Sabbath that we are commanded to remember in commandment number 4 is the method our Creator chose to keep the knowledge of himself within the hearts and minds of his obedient people all throughout time. He loves us that much that he doesn't want us to, you know, to lose touch from us. That's why he said remember. It's also a prophetic statement in why he said remember too in Exodus chapter 20 verses 8 to 11. That's the only commandment that I can see that has a bold prophetic statement in it, because we know the church would be taught to forget that one. So he's always wanted to stay in the hearts and minds of his obedient people throughout time. And this includes eternity, for it is written in Isaiah 66 verses 22 to 23, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So how the Sunday keeping Romans can explain that prophetic scripture is beyond me. But I have tried in my past to do so, as I too was a Sunday keeper decades ago, as were some of you. And this is how I saw it. And if you notice, simple wisdom was not a prerequisite of being an obedient Catholic. I mean, it's just the way it was. It was just part of the course. I was taught that before the cross of Christ, we were to keep the seventh day Sabbath. And then after the cross of Christ, we were to keep the Sunday Sabbath. And they never commented on what I just read from Isaiah 66. So with my extreme lack of wisdom, I came to the conclusion after reading it, you know, Isaiah 66, what was it, verse 22 to 23, that we would somehow go back to keeping the seventh-day Sabbath once we get in heaven. So, can Isaiah be true in the eyes of a Catholic when it is clearly speaking of eternity and they are keeping Sunday while on earth? I mean, even their state of the dead theology exposes them as deceived in that they believe all their loved ones are in heaven as we speak. I mean, that means As they are on earth, they keep Sunday holy, and their dead loved ones, who they think are already in heaven, are keeping the seventh day Sabbath, and they somehow believe that we're all worshiping together on the same day. Now, do you see how confusing Catholicism can be? Because they say they're in heaven already, and when you get to heaven, you got to keep the seventh day holy. Well, then how are we all worshiping together? I mean, I'd rather worship on the same day, you know, that heaven's doing it. Bottom line is this. Since the Sabbath belongs to Christ, and since he made all things, that also means he made the Sabbath as well. And being creator, it is he that sanctified it and set it apart as an eternal memorial of the work of creation. No sin in that. I mean, even Israel and Jacob, you know, and the people of Israel would put up memorials. Those of us with eyes that see can clearly see that the Sabbath points to him as both creator and sanctifier simultaneously. Now, do you see why Satan targeted it in the last days? In Esther's day, yeah, he targeted commandment number 2. In Daniel's day, it was commandment number 1. And he targeted commandments number 1 and 2 in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day. In our day, he is again targeting the law of God to go after his obedient people. But as I stated a moment ago, it's commandment number 4 this time. Because that one depicts who they worship. Well, as did the other ones, of course. But this one here is a little bit more graphic. Because the Lord does say it's a sign upon his people. As his son's bride, we know the Sabbath declares that the creator of all that is seen and unseen, and by whom all things still hold together on a daily basis, is in fact our King, Savior, and eternal head of the church, and that by his love and power we are reconciled to God. It becomes apparent to our God that we are his son's bride, when we choose to obey him and cherish his law, while at the same time glorify him as creator by simply keeping the day holy each week, each seventh day. You can't just pick any day you want, because that's some people do that on the street. They say, well, I got to work on Saturdays, but I get to have Sundays off, so I'm going to keep that as holy. Or I work on Saturdays, and I get to have Tuesdays off. That's going to be my Sabbath. I says, okay, well, then let's go back to the Garden of Eden. God picked a tree. You pick whichever one you want. And let's just see what happens. One day you're going to come up to the tree he said not to pick, and that's going to cause your death. You can't change what he has penned. He's God. I mean, who do you think you are? Do you think you're able to fight against him? His truth is perfect. There is no having to worry or wonder, did I cover this base or I cover that base, as most people, as everybody does when they preach lies. This is why politicians are so easily seen in today's world, especially as being extremely corrupt, especially now that everybody's got cameras. They'll say one thing, and then 2-3 years later says, I never said that. I mean, we've all seen the videos. It's really comical sometimes where he says, I've never, ever said that. And then someone puts a video up of him actually saying what he said he never said. They can't keep up with the lies. There's just too many of them. That's why when I found Christ, it was just, I mean, that was one of the main things that really got me was truth, because I was living so many lies, and it's just got so difficult to try to keep up with all of them. With truth, you always have an anchor. His name is Jesus Christ. You never have to worry about, oh, did I say this or did I say that wrong in my past? No, if you stick with what was written in the scriptures, you don't have to worry about it ever. Just stick with the word. And as we also know, since the probationary period ended for the blood-born Israelites of old at the stoning of Stephen, which was the closing of that prophetic week of Daniel, and that's why the Jews to this day don't like the book of Daniel, we are now declared to be the Israel of God now. And so we too claim the statement as spoken unto us as well when he said, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. The Sabbath is a sign of Christ's power to make us holy. And as a sign of his sanctifying power, the Sabbath is given to all through Christ, who through Christ rather, become a part of the eternal and obedient Israel of God. Yes, due to the sin of Adam and Eve, we have lost the peace of Eden, but we now have the promised peace of Jesus Christ within us. And so now we can easily understand what he meant when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. And I had to do a video about that too, because a lot of people out there in the street are actually saying that Jesus is my Sabbath. Look, he says, I will be your rest. I will give you rest. But that's, and of course, you got to have patience with people like that, because they're actually trying their best. They're using the Bible. I mean, sometimes they're doing it to okay their sin, and their anger actually proves it. And then they'll also use lies to shore up their theology because they really have no other recourse because there are no other Bible verses to back their doctrine. They have to use man-made traditions or just out-and-out lies. So, but it did come up a lot because a lot of preachers over the years have said that Jesus Christ is your Sabbath now. So I made that short video years ago. I think maybe 2 years ago. I don't even know how long ago it was. Anyway, let's see if we can get one more question in here. We still got 8 minutes left. And it's question number 28. What has he asked us to do as the sign of our allegiance to him? And it's found in Ezekiel 20:20. He says, hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. That's pretty plain. I mean, if you don't keep the Sabbath, he's not your Lord. Lord means you obey him impeccably. I mean, the world would say you would be a legalist or whatever, or a Jesus freak for that matter. But one of these days, I'm going to look up to see how many Bible verses there are in the Old and New Testament that speak of the Sabbath day as a permanent and eternal command of our God. I mean, yeah, I do have a page on the site called Ask God About the Sabbath that does have 100 questions about the Sabbath that are answered only using Scripture. Some of them make you chuckle because the truth can be pretty blunt at times. It's really amazing. And yes, that would be a good chuckle, like Abraham's was when he was told that he would have a son by Sarah. You can hear this laugh in Genesis 17:17. It's also the same laugh many of us have uttered after seeing a prayer answered or a word of truth comes upon us answering a prayer. It's not a laugh that mocks or leads to scorn. No, it's not what I'm talking about. It is a laugh that makes our hearts so joyful that we can't help but to laugh when we see his man and when his hand move like that. I mean, after all, did he say in Job chapter 8, verses 19 to 22? Check this out. He says, behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. And so I praise God when I came across that verse decades ago, because I always thought, because I mean, I still knew that my Father knows my heart, right? We all know that, hopefully. Because there were times I came across things out, and because I like the midday thing, I like to go out into the woods and stuff like that. And when I lived up near the city, I would literally get in the car and I would have to drive 15, 20 minutes just to get to the woods. I mean, I liked it that much. And then go out there and go for a walk and then just talk to him. And there's sometimes you'd see something, it just makes you laugh out loud. It says, how do you do that? I mean, it just knocks your socks off sometimes. It's really, really amazing. It's really a blessing to the heart. It really, truly makes you joyful to the point of laughing, like he says in the book of Job. So the Sabbath of the Lord should be made so interesting to our loved ones that each week it should be hailed with joy. This is why you should have special things, like, especially if you got little kids. On Sabbath day, there are special things that you do. Just like with our dogs. We don't have any little kids anymore, but my wife will on occasion, and she does this more often than not, she'll buy treats for the dogs. You know, all week long we give them treats, but on Sabbath, they get some whoppers. They know this day's different. And they're just dogs. I mean, they're, you know, I'm just saying. You can literally make the day special in all sorts of different ways. Including, of course, you know, opening up Scripture, worshiping him, going out in nature, seeing his creation, and of course, gathering with the faithful, as we're doing right now. I must say that I truly look forward to it in that I can rest from looking into the things that cause my heart to stress each and every week. I mean, but that's just part of life. Living in these last days has its ups and downs. Mostly downs, of course, and that everywhere you look, there are souls headed to hell with smiles on their faces without a care in the world. They don't even have any inkling as to what's going on. And that's one of the reasons for today's sermon, because the emails, there people say, who's actually behind this? I mean, that's the main question. Who's actually behind this? It's just too orchestrated. Can't be. It can't be governments. It has to be an entity of some sort. So, but the, anyway, the precious seventh day must be bound up with the beauty of God's creation in however a manner we can be reminded. He said, remember. We could be reminded by a walk in the woods, a stroll by a lake, or even reading how he made all that we see in the book of Genesis. On my Keeping Sabbath Holy page on the site, I share a few ways we can keep this day holy. And just to name a few, we can visit our brethren's web pages online. We can watch brethren's videos online. And I say brethren because we have enough in this, in the Seventh-day Remnant Church now globally, where you don't have to go to other churches to look for answers or to look for videos or to look for sermons or to, I mean, come on, this site alone has over, what was it? I just redid WTPR. It has 1,107, I think, hours. That's not counting last night and today because I it's not on there yet. So you're going to have to add another couple hours. In other words, you can listen to WTPR for a little over 46 straight days and never hear a sermon or a study repeated. That's how much is on there now. And it's going to get a lot more. We're just going to keep dumping it in there. Because I'm not going to do any bells and whistles and put commercials and, you know, stuff, advertisements. I'm just going to dump in the studies. Just put them in there. That way it'll always grow, you know. And every now and then there'll be a study in there from somebody that we no longer are, you know, in agreement with. But at the time we were in agreement with them. I've deleted most of them, but every now and then one slips through, so don't let it bother you. We do have a disclaimer on the website because some people, I mean, they just step off the path. There's nothing you can do about that, but keep them in prayer. So, now you can also listen to, like I said, those recorded sermons on Sabbath. You can type up Bible studies to email people, or you write your own tracts, or, you know, mail or email to loved ones, or even complete strangers for that matter. I mean, I used to do that. I haven't done it in a while, where you get an old phone book. Last year's phone book, let's say, because you don't want to mark up a new one. Well, it really doesn't matter because you don't know these people anyway. So you just get a phone book and actually see if you can get a phone book that's not from your neck of the woods. That way you don't care about tearing up the book. And each person in the phone book, you put a line through their name after you send them a track in the mail, because their address and everything's right there in the phone book. So you just scratch it out and then go to the, you know, do like maybe 10 a week or 50 a week. I don't know. It depends on, you know, your finances, of course. And then when you're done, you just rip the page out. You know, both sides of the page is covered and you go to the next. And, you could visit, visit the sick on Sabbath. There's nothing wrong with that. People used to say, the traveling, you can't travel on. So, well, you see, you got to take into consideration how the Jews acknowledged a Sabbath day's journey back then. It was under a mile. You know, 3/4 of a mile and under, within a mile and 3/4 of a mile, it was under a mile. That was considered a Sabbath day journey. Because that was, you know, anything else other than that. Unless you're just going for a stroll and you really love to be in nature, well, then, yeah, have at it. It's not like you're headed for a specific destination. But today, you sit down and you're moving a steering wheel. There's no stress in that. It's just like building fires on Sabbath. In the old days, you can't. And then soon, when we can't buy and sell, let's say we're running for our lives out there in the woods, and the only way that you're going to be able to burn a fire is to chop up the wood and get the kindling, and get it all set up and ready to go. Today, you turn a dial. So there's nothing wrong with heating your food on Sabbath. Now, cutting it up and, you know, creating a meal on Sabbath day. Now, do that the day before. That's why it's called the day of preparation. I mean, a lot of them found out the hard way. Don't be messing around like that in the 40 years of the desert, especially when the manna started falling in the first week. They saw the worms on, you know, the next day. They wanted the whole stuff up. But anyway, you can also pass out tracts on Sabbath day. You can sing songs of praise. That's kind of fun. Listen to Christian music. You can go witnessing door to door. Or simply read the Bible for extra wisdom on this blessed day. I mean, this really is a really good day to read the Bible, too, on top of everything else. You, of course, read it 7 days a week. But today seems to be I don't know. Just, well, it's just, it's a different day. We know it. It's, we've known this for years, most of us. Or as many already do, we can just gather after, eating here in the scriptures, in the chat room, and learn more truth as it's presented. You know, like we have like the 5 o'clock. And I say we're eating here now because Jeremiah said, I found thy words and I did eat them. And so, and then after we eat physical food, after we leave here, we come back later on and we have another study. So, and if you're new to this truth, if you make it a habit to do such things on this day, you will soon discover Sabbath will literally become a day to look forward each and every single solitary week. Hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.